shirts on.
Thank you for sharing that, Susie. In a way, it's nice not to be the first one to speak because I can kind of just relax and listen to Mindy and Mary Catherine and learn from how they do it and how that all goes. And there's some advantages to that, but there's also the disadvantage is that they've already said all the good things, but actually, you know, we have to hear things at least 20 times before we learn them, so
yeah.
All good. So I'm going to talk tonight about approaching community as a sojourner. So who is a sojourner, you may ask? Well, it really can be interchangeable with an alien or a foreigner or a traveler. And according to Peter, because we focus a lot on Peter for the theme of this retreat, we are all sojourners. And this idea is found in 1 Peter as well. Actually, right off the bat in verse 1, Peter makes clear that he's speaking to sojourners, or in this case, exiles, or the CSB Bible says, temporary residents. We are not citizens of the world, but rather of God's kingdom, Philippians 3:20. It's a very biblical theme that we are sojourners. We're not meant to ever feel completely at home in this world, for sure, but even in this place, in this community where we live and where we serve. Peter 1:17 states, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. The exiles in 1 Peter, because that's what they were, exiles, had been called to leave their homes and spread out and just live in all these various communities. And they're told they're only here temporarily. And all their hope and loyalty was to be directed to heaven. So that's the context of 1 Peter, of being foreigners and exiles, that Peter gives this message. He wasn't giving them instructions on like their home place or where they felt comfortable. But this context of being foreigners and sojourners is where Peter commands us to love each other fervently, like it says in 1 Peter 1:22, which is kind of the theme of this retreat. And in 1 Peter 2:11, again, Peter addresses his readers as sojourners and exiles. So I am a foreigner. A lot of people probably in this room, I know some have already mentioned that they've had the experience of being a foreigner. But I might not look like a foreigner, but for much of my life, I have been one. The only time in my life that I was not a foreigner was my first few years when I lived in the Netherlands. I was born there, and I grew up speaking Dutch, and my whole family's Dutch. And when I was 8 years old, my parents had this grand idea of immigrating to Canada. We already had some relatives there, and they wanted to buy a farm there. So a lot of my life, as you can see, I've filtered through this filter, through that lens of being a foreigner. So later on, I went to school in the United States, and I married an American citizen, and I became a resident alien here with a green card. And then at some point, we moved to Indonesia for a little while, and then Malaysia, and then back to this foreign country. And moving to Wake Forest really did, at that time, feel like moving to a foreign country. God's people are often called to be sojourners. For example, in the Old Testament, too, God called Abraham to leave his home, travel to a new land, where he would live out the rest of his life. Never was he to feel quite at home again. Go from your country and your kindred and to your father's house, to the land that I will show you, God said in Genesis 12:1. So Peter expected us to approach community as sojourners and not as wish dreamers. So what is that word, you wonder? Several of us, or all of us who were speaking at the retreat, we read this book, Life Together, by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he wrote a really, the book Life Together is a very famous book on Christian community. So in German, I guess it's like Wunschstromer. And I just thought that is a really strange word, but I'm going to be saying it a lot, so I hope you don't get tired of it. I think he just made it up. I don't know. He used it to describe someone who holds on to an idealized fantasy version of Christian community. Someone who holds on to an idealized fantasy version of Christian community. And he's actually pretty harsh about it. So I'm going to read this quote. Innumerable times, a whole Christian community has broken down because it has sprung from a wish dream. The serious Christian, set down for the first time in a Christian community, is likely to bring with him a very definite idea of what Christian life together should be and try to realize it But God's grace speedily shatters such dreams. The sooner this shock of disillusionment comes to an individual and to a community, the better it is for both. So when I lived in Penang, Malaysia, I often met like people who were traveling, and well, something we did a lot was try to connect with people from all over the world, really, who would come on vacation or to live for a little while. But sometimes travelers came because they had heard or maybe seen a pamphlet or been told by their travel agent that Penang was the pearl of the Orient. So Penang is an island off the west coast of Malaysia. At one point, it was being sold as the pearl of the Orient, with white beaches and turquoise water and beautiful villages. But in reality, what travelers got was not so clean beaches, chaos, heavy traffic. And we were sitting at the pool one day with this French lady that I was sitting beside, and our children were playing with each other, and she told me about how she'd been told that this was the Pearl of the Orient. And I can just still hear her say, it's so in my mind, she's like, "This is the Pearl of the Orient." And we still quote this lady in our family. It kind of represents unmet expectations, right? And Ben and I will say it to each other, even though it was like 25 years ago. "This is the Pearl of the Orient." You know, there are times in our community when we might look around and think that this is what God was talking about, this community. So it's hard to see the beauty around you and to see the beauty of a community when your expectations are wish dreams. A sojourner embraces where they are and who they're with, but a wish dreamer can't let go of that control or the wish of what they want people to be, the pearl. A sojourner works to love the community as it is, while a wish dreamer loves her dream community more than the actual one. So I have three points, three ways that I want to highlight in which approaching community as a sojourner can help us to thrive in the community. And the first point is, approaching community as a sojourner means that we realize there is no perfect community. Or that can just be the point if you're taking notes. Community ain't perfect, or there is no perfect community. A sojourner realizes that because of sin. Humans are always going to fall short of standards. Humans are going to fail, but God never does. And this has already been mentioned a couple times too, but every single person in this room could come up here and give multiple examples of how humans have failed us. Communities have failed us. Churches have failed us. Parents, friends, etc. Our hope for friendships, relationships, community is solely in our fellowship in Christ. A real community exists only in Christ. I turned on my computer not that long ago, and I was actually working on this, and this article came up in the news, and the title was "Community Without Religion." It's about a group of people who grew up in the church but no longer considered themselves religious. But they probably had like good memories of what it meant, or what it meant to go to church together when they were younger, to sing together, you know, enjoy each other's company, eat together. So they still meet and they do all those things. But instead of a sermon, they listen to like a secular message and they sing secular songs and just have some fun, I guess. So, I mean, are they having community? I sort of, but obviously that is not the kind of community we're talking about at all. The community we're talking about is community in Christ. But a wish dreamer sets their hope on a perfect community, whatever you think that might be. Maybe it's a place where you feel accepted, or maybe you think, I have to have two or three really close friends, and then I need like a well-rounded small group or grow group. The pastor has to be friendly. I don't know, whatever you think in your mind that might be. But conflict is inevitable. Like even in the disciples in their community with Jesus had conflict. And it was a small community, like 12 guys plus Jesus, you know. You would think if ever there was a perfect community, it would be that one. But it wasn't. There was conflict. But what if Jesus was here today? Wouldn't it be perfect? Well, Jesus is perfect, but our community still would not be perfect. But a sojourner doesn't expect community to have no conflict. A wish dreamer goes running when there is conflict or a problem, but a sojourner expects to work hard, like an immigrant in a new country who knows that there are going to be setbacks and challenges and works through them. Like I said, when my family immigrated to Canada, there were endless challenges, but my parents worked day and night to overcome those challenges. Plus, they had sold everything. They had nothing to go back to. So they knew they were going to work it out. But a wish dreamer wishes for a community that actually doesn't exist. A sojourner knows that this community can only be found in Christ. Many years ago, I was part of this Bible study. And there was one, so we would get together every week and study the Bible and pray together. And there was one friend that had the same prayer request every single week. She wanted us to pray that she would find friends because she was lonely. She wanted someone to share life with, which we were doing. But she couldn't see that. She couldn't see that she already had community and friends and fellowship because she was dreaming up a different community. We didn't fit into that picture of what was in her mind of what a community, the perfect community, would be. But a sojourner has already been part of other communities and knows that he or she is only going to find true community in Christ. They don't expect to find a perfect friendship or an ideal group of friends, or maybe even for the pastor to be friendly. I don't know. We do have a friendly pastor, obviously. Friendly pastors. So that was my first point. The second point is approaching community as a sojourner involves giving. Community is the giving of selflessness and service. When I had just moved here to Wake Forest from Malaysia, I was shopping at Walmart one time, and the cashier lady was a lady from India, and it was very obvious that she was from India, and she was desperate for community. We started talking while she rang up the groceries, and she could tell I was going to make some Indian kind of stuff. So she instantly thought, well, here's someone who can be my friend. And so she started asking me questions, and she was actually a little desperate for friendship and community. So when we were finishing up, she took the receipt and wrote her phone number on the back and come to my house, call me. And so I did. I did go to her house. She cooked for me. And we made some things together, and we ate together. But she had, like, no expectations from me. For her to make a friend was to give. To have community, she wanted to give. And so she got community. Community also means shared responsibility. A sojourner wants to give community. They want to give community. They see it as a privilege that they get to be part of a group and contribute. A sojourner has a desire to share in the responsibilities of community. Community is sacrifice and not just benefits. Being a sojourner includes giving in ministry. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer again says in this book, he lists actually a lot of ways that we can give in ministry. And it goes beyond meal train. I mean, meal train is great. It's very helpful and it's a very great way to serve. But a lot of the ideas that he had for serving or for giving were different than I'd heard before. One of them was the ministry of meekness, and another one, the ministry of holding your tongue. Can you imagine if those were things we sign up for serve at North Wake? Half the church is going to be meek this year, and this half is going to hold their tongue. It would be very interesting how that year goes. It might be really good. I don't know. But a sojourner knows how to hold his tongue, usually. When, like I said, we had a farm in Canada, my parents did, and every year we would have interns come from, usually from Europe, and they would stay at our house for 2 or 3 months, and they were supposed to come and learn. Well, there was one intern that came for 2 months, and by the end of the 2 months, we were so ready. We were all so ready for him to leave because all he could talk about was how much better things were. In this case, it was the Netherlands. The cows were better. The pastures were greener. And the barns were better. And he did not know how to hold his tongue in meekness. usually a sojourner or a foreigner, as a foreigner, you know not to air your own opinions or ideas, but to just be a learner. And being a learner, we can also hold our judgments, right? A foreigner or a sojourner isn't in the place to judge anyone. When a foreigner goes to a new country where they don't nothing, where they know nothing, they are not going to judge. Bonhoeffer says he will be able to cease from constantly scrutinizing the other person, judging, condemning, or putting him in his particular place. We also have the ministry of listening, which Mindy has already talked a lot about. And Mary Catherine touched on that too. But to love each other fervently, first, we have to be listeners, right? It's another ministry that maybe we could sign up for at North Wake, because we could all practice this. And I think it would be harder than children's ministry. We do need people to sign up for that. But I think this would actually be harder, listening. It's God's love for us that not only gives us his word, but also lends us his ear. So it is his work that we do for our sisters when we learn to listen to her. Imagine how ludicrous it would be. A foreigner who goes to another country, doesn't speak that language, but isn't willing to listen. That foreigner has no hope of community, because a sojourner listens. The ministry of helpfulness. You know, we give by being helpful, and no task is too small or too common to be helpful. And sojourners recognize the needs of sojourners. When my family were foreigners in Indonesia, and we were very much foreigners there, we actually did language school there in Indonesia, and a lot of people came there for language school, and you could see them walking on the street, and you'd instantly know there's another family that's studying language. And without even asking, we pretty much knew what their needs were. They were lonely. Even if you have your family with you, it can be very lonely when you're in culture shock. They were probably struggling with the traffic or taking the angkot, where you often get lost. And remember, this was before we didn't have like Waze or anything. You had to drive on the other side of the road if you were driving. And they were struggling with language. And very likely they were also struggling in their marriage, because when you're going through culture shock, there was just this time in our life too where, like, oh my goodness, we're like fighting every day. It was hard because you have so many stressors on you. So it was just so obvious, like, how we could help one another as foreigners in that context. It's not always that obvious, but if we are willing to give our free service and pray about how to be helpful to each other, we can bear each other's burdens. The ministry of proclaiming is another ministry that Bonhoeffer mentions, and it gets a really long section because it's so important. And it can only be in place once helpfulness is in place and meekness and listening are in place first. But there's going to come a time in our community and in our relationships and in our friendships where we're going to have to correct each other, reprove, speak truth. And it would be inconceivable not to correct each other when the time comes, because it's so important. Foreigners need the proclamation and advice of residents in their new community to tell them what to do and what not to do and how to avoid offense and be successful. We had been in Indonesia for already a couple of weeks when our language teacher saw us doing this, and he would come and like do things with us all the time. We weren't just sitting in a classroom. But he saw us do something with our left hand. And a lot of you maybe know, but we did not know, that in Asian culture, you don't use your left hand. It's very offensive. You know, it's the dirty hand, okay? And you only use your right hand when you're handing something to someone or paying or whatever. It would have been inconceivable for him not to correct us. Like, and inconceivable for us not to accept that correction. We don't want to offend anyone, and neither did he want us to. We need to be gentle and severe with one another, because we know both God's kindness and we know his severity. A sojourner wants correction. Then the third point, approaching community as a sojourner involves seeing community as a gift, or just community is a gift. So that might sound a little contrary to point number two, which said it was giving. Community is giving. And here I'm saying it's a gift. But it's obviously both, right? It's both. It's a gift of joy, but it's also a gift of struggle. Just like when you're journeying or traveling, it is hard to give up comforts and accept the struggles that go along with traveling or being a foreigner. Yet as a sojourner, that's just what needs to be done. Comfort isn't wrong if we're comfortable here, but it's also not a priority. Years ago, I went on this mission trip that ended up being far from comfortable. We went to Yucatan, Mexico, with a group of college students. I won't tell you how many years ago, a lot of years ago. We studied Spanish and history and culture on this beautiful camp on the beach, and then we got paired up to do individual assignments in various places in Mexico and Belize. So first of all, I was paired up with someone I didn't know at all, and I didn't necessarily feel comfortable with. And secondly, after the local missionary had finished dropping everyone else off, we were dropped off at what felt like the last village on the map. And then even then, once we were dropped off, we had to trek a little ways through the jungle. And he was like, just turn right at the next hut and then turn left at that tree or whatever. But the hardest part, aside from like sleeping in a hammock in a hut, and the family that normally lived in this hut slept outside the whole 2 weeks we were there so that we could sleep in their hut. But the hardest part was that when it was time to go to the bathroom, we realized there wasn't one. We had to find a path in the jungle, in the dark. But we had anticipated that it would be hard. We knew it was going to be a struggle. We'd been told it was going to be a struggle. We had not been told there was no bathroom. But we had been told it was going to be hard. So we were ready for that. And comfort wasn't our priority. And I will say, I'm putting a big date stamp on my forehead, but there were no phones. You know, definitely no cell phones, but I don't think there was even a phone in that entire village. And I'm pretty sure if there had been, we would have been calling the missionary, please come back. Please come back and get us. As it was, like, that was kind of handy for them because they were just like, see you in 2 weeks. Bye. And, like, there was nowhere to go and no one to call. But a sojourner can see that community is a gift. Sometimes someone who lives in a beautiful place can no longer see the beauty around them because they're so used to seeing it. In the same way, a traveler or a sojourner has a whole different lens and can focus on the beauty because they can see things that others can't. So when I lived in the Netherlands, I could not see that that was a beautiful place. I was young, but it's a very flat country. It's wet. It's cold. And they only see a little bit of sunshine compared to what we see here. But now when I go, and after a long absence, I can see how stunning it is. The greens and the blues and the canals and the dikes and the fields of flowers. But a wish dreamer can't see the beauty of the community of Christ. Maybe they only see the problems. Community in Christ, though, is where we find quiet love and forgiveness, accountability, shared life, and connection. And what is a gift to the lonely person is so easily disregarded by those of us who are used to this gift. And we all know this, but it's not a gift to be taken for granted that we as Christians have the privilege of living among other Christians. That's a gift of mercy that's so easy to lose sight of. And this community is truly an expression of God's mercy and love. And you are part of this community. And I would love for that to be an encouragement to you. This community of Christian sisters, it's not based on our human love for each other. It's based on Jesus Christ. And that's why it's so different from all other communities. And the basis of this spiritual community is the Word of God in Jesus Christ. It's characterized by service to one another, fellowship, and our inclusion in this community is not dependent on if we're even aware of it. And it's not dependent on our actions. It's just a gift from God. And you're already part of it before you even realize it. It's not something you've created or you've chosen, just a reality. Because God has already laid the only foundation of our fellowship. God has bound us together in one body with the other Christians in Jesus Christ long before we entered into common life. We enter into that common life not as demanders, but as thankful recipients. And that's a Bonhoeffer quote. You, or we, can be free from the ideals of community, which can destroy it instead of perfecting it. Just receive it as the actual community. Just receive as a gift the actual community. The messy, the imperfect, the struggles, the joys, as a gift. And work within it with humility and patience, like a sojourner. So I'd like to just end this time with a prayer of thankfulness, if Susan wants to pray. Lord, we thank you for the struggles that we have in this community, because it means that we're part of it. We are part of the community. And we thank you also for the joys that we have in our Christ-centered community, because those encourage us to continue on and to strive to know you more. Thank you for making us, each person here, part of this community that is built on the strong foundation of your word. When we focus on what we don't have in community, when we cannot look past the conflict, when all that arises is our hurts and our unmet ideals, please lift our eyes to focus on you and remind us that you strengthen us as sojourners. We need daily wisdom to know how to be part of this community that you have given us. Please show me the needs of those around me so that I can give, so that I can serve and listen and sacrifice and love fervently. We pray this in your name.